First of all, I'm 99 years old. I won't be 100 for another 10 or days. 10 days? Almost, but that's it. Now we go. What about my service time?
Yeah.
I was in the Navy. Never stationed aboard ship.
Where were you stationed?
I was spent my time with the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I become a foot soldier. And when I left the Navy, I didn't leave the Navy. I stayed in the Navy because the Marine Corps is part of the Navy, but they won't admit it. But they are. So I went with them, and I went to Marine Corps boot camp. And then I was a medic, and I went to field med school the same time. I went to Marine Corps boot camp in the morning from about 5 o'clock till noon, and then had a break for lunch, and then I went for medical training or field med training from the afternoon till about 8 o'clock that evening. So we had short days, but there was only like 4 or 5 weeks of that. It wasn't too much. And that graduated me from that and got me ready to head out. And I was in Camp Lejeune, or I was in the East Coast, that Lejeune. And then I was shipped over to the West Coast to go to the Pacific Theater as replacement people. So I was only there a day or two and got aboard ship and boogied right on out. And we got out the next day, we got to Hawaii. And they all pointed us out and announced it over the speaker that's Hawaii. Look at it real close because we're going by. We're not going to stop. That next day, it went out of sight. And we didn't see no land from, oh God, I don't know how long. But the next time we saw land, it was Guadalcanal. And Guadalcanal was a secured island at that time. So we went in there, and like a bunch of greenhorns, we found the coconut trees were kind of up mounted at the tree. So we laid ourselves down on that and kind of had our head up. But we was pretty good shape. Next day we found out we was all still alive because no coconuts fell that night. That day. So that's the last time we slept under a coconut tree that close. Anyway, hung around there for a little while, and maybe a week or 2 weeks, something, until they got a ship in there that did, because we was actually, there was 23 of us or something like that, supposed to go to Guam, not Guadalcanal. So there was a merchant marine ship that dropped stuff off in Guam and was headed to, or stopped off at Guadalcanal and was headed for Guam. And they said, can you handle 23 passengers? And he said, oh yeah, we've dropped most of our load and we're just going up there. So lo and behold, we got aboard, and looking around, it was a concrete ship. Now, I wouldn't have thought a concrete ship would float, but it does. Anyway, the walls were about 5 inches, 6 inches thick, and it was all solid concrete. And we headed out, and we storied after a day or two out. We said we could throw the garbage out at night, and the next morning got up and looked out the tail end of the ship. You could see the garbage. That's how fast we were going. So it took us a month to get to Guam. And then I was from Guam. They needed replacements in Saipan, so I was about 9 of us were pulled out and sent to Saipan right from the original. We never even got foot on Guam. So went to Saipan, was up there for a week or 10 days, and then they didn't need us. We got done and whatever was going. So they sent us back to Guam. So we got on an LST, and it was loaded, and it was had the deck was where we slept or stayed overnight. There was a trip overnight. So they said, well, you better tie them cots down to the bed because we got some weather. So We did. We tied them down, and we had a hell of a time that night. But I stayed in my cot and everybody else the whole night of it. We got back to Guam the next morning, and there were dead fish laying on the decks of the LST and stuff. It was a storm we'd gone through that night. But we got off, got there, and then I got assigned to Guam. Then I got assigned to the 3rd Division, and pretty quickly we got reassigned to different battalions, and we got dispensed out and got into out in our jobs. And as soon as we got there, naturally, we went into training. And some of those older Marines, I hadn't been in any combat before except Saipan, and that was not really combat. They didn't recognize that. So some of them guys said, boy, this training is hell. It's from daylight till dark, you might say, and we're hitting it hard, hard. Said, when are we going to get to go to combat? We get some rest. That was a common rattle noise that was going around. When are we going to get to go? Yeah. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't long. We got to go, and we went to Iwo. And I'm not going to get into Iwo because it was a rugged battle. And one of the worst the Marine ever got into. But anyway, I landed on D-Day with the troops on the front end. And going in, I was at the tail end of the what was the name of them ships that we rode in? A little, Anyway, I was at the back of that there, so I was last out. So them coxswains didn't want to lose their ships, and they were very careful. So they never went no further in than they had to. But as soon as they got that front end on, but whenever all the troops went out of the ship, that took the weight off and the ship come up so they could get out easy. But anyway, I was one of the last out of the ship. We got out, jumped in, water up there. We traveled in a pair, two corpsmen, two medical guys together. We had our own assignment whenever after we got ashore. But we had a what we called a B-pack between us. It was a suitcase about your size. And it was full of medical supplies that we needed to back up with for backup material when we got on the island. Well, we got there, and we got there with that. We got on out of the water, got up, and there'd been a truck that had just got ahead of us. That sand was loose and wobbly, and that truck had marred down and couldn't go nowhere. And they'd hit it, caught it on fire, and it was still smoldering when we got up to the land. So in my training, I'd been told, I was a senior guy with this, and we go, stay on the move. Don't stand still long because they get your spot, they'll shoot you. So we got there and I ducked down behind this truck or whatever it was there for a little minute. And then I said, Herbie Brandkamp was with me. And I said, Herbie, we're going forward. He said, I'll stay here just another minute. I said, no, we're going. So I just kind of took off and drug him. He's on the other side of that B-pack. And he's out of hound and I got a hound. So I kind of drug him. And he picked up his feet and got one. So we got to a crater about as far as near that garbage can over there, maybe 30 feet, 40 feet. Anyway, he ducked into that little crater and kind of squashed down in it. And about that time, a shell hit somewhere. And there was all kinds of crap in the air and debris falling and that stuff. And when that all cleared, we looked back and where the shell come was right exactly where we came off the ship. They had spotted us and got our line. But we got out of there quick enough. So that's my horror story that I tell. I don't go no further. But that saved him and his life and my life. And we went forward from there, and I stayed on Iwo 33 days, or maybe 34, 35. But I picked that number 33. That's easy to go.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's a nice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I talked to a World War II vet, I think over the 4th of July, and he kind of said that same thing. Like, the thing that stuck to him is being from Texas And then they put him on the ship. He was going to Europe.
Uh-huh.
And he said, like, the first thing I remember about my experience in World War II was the ship going up and down in the storm. He's like, and then, and he's like, I thought that was going to be the war. I thought, oh, this is terrible. How am I going to? But then you get into the middle of it and you realize, I wish I was back on that boat now. Like, that it wasn't so bad being on the boat.
No, let's go back.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I got out of there. Went along after I got it. After they secured the island, we went come back out of the island on point systems. And I had time in service, combat time, everything else. And I had points to galore. So I was on the first wave to leave island to go back home to Guam. So we put a ship, back we went. But we got back to Guam and we had reassembled in our old campground and reinstated everything and built back up to normal where we was at. And then we went into a heavy training. And we're in training. We don't know where we're going, what we're going to do, but we're in heavy training. And we went into heavy training, back into that day. When are we going to get to go to combat, you know? Anyway, we was at. And the next time we got aboard, we didn't know, have no idea where we were going, but we were going somewhere. And that was when we got aboard the ship. And after we got out of there, so they told us we're going to Iwo Jima. Well, they might as well told us you're going to hell, because we knew where that was, but we didn't know where Iwo Jima was. So we headed off to Iwo Jima, and we got up there. And then, well, when we got into Iwo Jima, and close enough, we could see the area where the island, see that view ahead of time. There was just, oh, there was thousands of ships. There was ships everywhere. And we were just one of them ships that spotted us somewhere, pulled us in and anchored us and left us there for a day or so until the island was ready to hit. Maybe just one day, I don't know, yeah. And then we, over the side of the ship, back into them Higgins boats. That's what they were. Back on the island, we went on the island. I'm getting ahead of myself or behind. Boy, I don't know what.
That's okay.
Anyway.
What, you know, for someone hearing that, you know, here, or someone who hears us on the radio, like, what would you want someone hearing that to take away from it?
To take away from what? What would I want them to hear?
Yeah.
Oh, the speed that we left North Carolina boot camp, finished med school and boot camp, got on a troop train to California. California, we got on a ship, and then we went by Hawaii. I'll never forget that. I don't know why. Went by that and on to Guadalcanal and then back to Guadalcanal and speed that up a little bit, because that takes a lot of time. But that's where the story is.
And that's the thing. You weren't brought up to be a Marine.
No, I was brought up. I enlisted. You know, when Pearl Harbor was bombed the next Monday, it was seven of us boys in the senior class at my small high school. We went to the recruit station in Joplin and enlisted. And it was everybody else was there enlisting. So we couldn't, they couldn't take us all, so they give us, got our address and sent us home, how we could get in time. And they said, we'll contact you the day we can get you into somewhere, put you camp to have it. So I went on active duty in February. I enlisted on the 8th day or 9th of December after Pearl Harbor, and then got called back. I finally got the registered letter and sent to come on to Joplin, and they're going to send. Well, they sent us to Kansas City, and Kansas City, we went on out of there.
And so, yeah, that and like everyone after Pearl Harbor, everyone wanted to contribute. Everybody wanted to.
Everybody wanted to go. Yeah. So there was just tons of people there. And I don't know, we spent a day or two in Joplin because they couldn't process everybody. And they did you a limited process, and then we got another one later after it. But they got enough to get a hold of us and sent us on in to boot camp. And when we left K Kansas City going to boot camp. We was going to San Diego, California for Navy boot camp. That Navy Great Lakes or San Diego, that was the main camp. But we wasn't going to Great Lakes because I knew that was north. We was going towards California. But the second day out on that train, we was going north. And I said, you don't get to San Diego going north. So we had no idea where we was going. So, but a day or two later, we ended up on a siding in Farragut, Idaho. They had built a Navy boot camp in Lake Farragut, Idaho. And we were on a siding with snow as deep as we could see. And we unloaded, got in there, and first thing they trained us all on was to how to fire the furnace that heated the building. And we're all going to get watched, and you're all going to stand watch, and you're all going to shovel coal. You're not in hell, but you might think you are. But anyway, we'd shovel coal and keep that, we'd pull them radiators up and we're there just to popping.
And you didn't know you were going to Idaho, and that kind of set you up for, like, you didn't know where you were going. And
no,
like when
we
you
had no idea.
Yeah.
And when, like I say, we're up in, we
you
knew
know,
it
like, you didn't know
in Wyoming and that stuff.
Yeah.
But then when we got at night, we got into Idaho or Farragut where we was going in the early morning. And when it got light, where we could see we're in snow and we're this, and we're in the mountains and we're here. But anyway, that's where we're at. So they tell us we're at Farragut, Idaho. You're going to go to boot camp here.
But that prepped you for, you have to be ready for whatever is going to hit you, whether you're at Iwo Jima or you're at, you know, Normandy Beach, wherever you're going. Like, you got to be ready for anything.
Got to be ready.
Yeah.
But you never know. And we left Guam going to Iwo. We didn't know we were going to Iwo until we got out.
Do you talk to kids? Do you go to schools and talk to kids?
No, not much. I used to some.
I guess so. What would you like a kid who's here at the air show? Like, what would you want them to take away? They get to see cool planes, but then they can hear your story too. Like, what would you want a kid to take away from this?
Be ready for anything, anytime. If you're in the service, you never know what's next tomorrow. And that's been 20 years I spent in the service, and I spent most of the time the same way. I'd wake up the next day and read the plan of the day, and this is what we're going to do today. So that's it. And most of my time after my active duty dates and time on active duty with the Reds that I went in, my last few years, I was with the Reserve Command. And I was an instructor, actually, what I ended up to be. Instructor, we train people. We train reserves. We have weekend warriors. We went every weekend to them. We offer Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Saturday, and Sunday. We went because that's when the warriors got off from work and they could come. Yeah, so they'd come in and we'd instruct them to be whatever they're going to be, medical people, give them the bases and all that stuff. But
and be ready to. And be ready to serve too. You know, like you weren't mm-hmm. drafted. Mm-hmm. It's like you guys were all lining up when you saw what happened. You had you said, "No, I want to help."
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm here. And I didn't know I was going to go in the Navy when I left up there the first time. I found that out later, and I said, "Well, somebody was interviewed me and said he'd be all right. He'd be like, you'll make a sailor." So I got in the Navy. And somebody else interviewed me along the line and said, well, he's got a little bit of medical background. He's kind of smart and that. So let's put him, let's make him a medic. And so look around, anybody got any gypsy? Yeah, okay, you're a medic. Yeah. So you'll go to Corps school, medical school. And after that, I got out of that and went to hospital duty for a little while for training and that stuff. And then after I got there, they would post drafts on the board. People were going out all the time, you know. Nobody knew where he was going, what's going on. But anyway, so they posted a draft, and I'm the only one going to field med school. Nowhere, what not, but we're going.
Did you stay in medicine when you left the service?
No, like, sir, I didn't.
What did you do when you left?
Well, I went into hospitality industry. I went in to a hotel manager. That's actually what I ended up. And I stayed with Holiday Inn until they left individuals and went corporate. And it got kind of rotten. And our stock was going down and we were hurting. And I'd been in one place 6 years, and that was too long. I had to be transferred. So they were going to send me back to Kansas City because I was a Missouri boy. The guys got a hold of the advertisement for the new inn to open. We got a new Missouri manager, several World War II vet, and all that bullshit, red publicity stunts, you know, stuff. And when I left, when I went to work for Holiday Inns, I told them that I would not cross the Mason-Dixon line going north, and I didn't want to go in the snow, and I didn't want to go to the mountains northeast or the mountains going west. Leave me in that area of the country. So they're going to send me to Kansas City. I'm in Missouri. I said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to lay on my back and put chains on a car no more. Done that. And I quit that. So another gentleman there in the city of San Antonio built a hotel. He didn't know anything about hotels or nothing. So, and I was kind of the ace winner and the hotel manager in San Antonio because I'd been here quite a while. Lots of people knew me. And so he heard about that me was going to get transferred. So he come down there one day and talked to me about, would you like to come out and look at my new inn? And I said, yeah. And I said to myself, my wheels are turning. He's gonna want me to go to work for him. And that'll get me out of going to Kansas City. And this was on Sunday, and I was to leave for Kansas City on Monday the next day. So I went out there and visited with him and toured and saw and talked and this. I ended up taking that job. I had no idea what my pay would be, or where at, or nothing else, but I took the job.
You just knew you weren't going to Kansas City.
Yeah, so, I wasn't going to go to Kansas City. I didn't want to go to Kansas City. But it turned out that was a Notreville. That inn in Kansas City, it's at the port, at the Sports Center in Kansas City, where the Chiefs are and all that stuff. And that would have been a good job, but it's still been up there where it was cold. I don't know. I was happy I took this job, man. And he gave me this brand new inn. Beautiful, perfect, everything, right. Above average, above Holiday Inn. Kind of luxurious.
So, right, easier than Iwo Jima?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Better decision.
anything else I'm leaving out you would want to say?
No. Anything I want to leave?
I don't know. I think you got it all.
You want to coach me a little bit? I enjoyed my service. I came back overseas, and I had ended up with about 5 years. And so I signed over in the reserves for 2 years because that got me out of everybody else coming home at the same time. And I didn't want to face the civilian life with all the competition and everything. So I signed over for 2 years. So I said, stayed in the Navy for 2 years. I was second class. I was living pretty good and making some money. I could support a wife and a child. So I was pretty good. So I stayed with it. And then that 2 years, I was gotten into the, heard more about the reserves and different things. And I found out about the Naval Air Reserve Command. So I got into that. And that put me on shore duty, or land duty, all the time. So I was back an instructor again. Same thing. But that kept me there. So I was in Olathe in Kansas City. That's when I was back again. And we went to Pennsylvania, to Philadelphia, then from back to Chicago. And by that time, I had up to where my retirement date was just right down here. So they would give you a choice if there was a choice of where you could go to the base closest to your home. So Olathe, Kansas was back at Naval Air Station. It was as close as I could get. So I showed that, and I wingled her in. I had some time in the service, and I knew a lot of people, and I knew how to get around. So I wingled my way around to get back to Olathe for retirement, and I retired at Olathe. That ended my naval career.